Five hosts, four divisions, all battling it out for the Holy Grail of the American Hockey League, the Calder Cup. This is the Holy Grail Podcast. Here are your hosts, Zach Power, Andrew Rinaldi, Corey Swartz, and Dina Weinheimer.
Hello, and welcome to episode 63 of Field Pass Hockey's AHL podcast, The Holy Grail. This is the episode for April 20th, and we are here to give you a recap of the last week in AHL hockey, on top of a little preview of what's coming up starting, well, technically starting yesterday, but really kicking off tonight. Guys, we have AHL playoff action coming at you. I don't know about you. I'm stoked. Let's go around the horn and see how fired up we all are about this.
Always, man. I'm Corey Swartz. I'm excited for the playoffs here. We got a lot of hockey coming up here. It's that glorious time where you have your pick of which game you want to watch, whether it be the NHL or the AHL. And there's pretty much always going to be hockey going on my TV. It's fantastic.
And I don't know about you, Corey, but I've already started Tetrising my schedule, and I know that the site's going to have lots of good content coming up as I'm looking at both East and West here. There's some good matchups. There's going to be some upsets, and I do think that there's going to be a couple dark horses as well.
I believe the phrase is, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And I get to say that as a completely unbiased observer because, well, five of the seven teams in the Central make the playoffs. I cover the two that didn't. So it's just, we've been calling it for a while. It was official on Sunday. You know, we'll get into that later. But to start off, we got a little bit of news to cover just before we get into the real meat of the action. Zach's going to get us started off here.
Yeah, and this one comes in Calgary, where Mitch Love has earned his second straight Louis A.R. Perreri a Memorial Award, and that goes out to the league's best coach. And you know what? Give credit where credit is due, that he has become one of the best coaches. Now, let's kind of recap his season here. He sent him to a winning record of 51-17. 3-1, 106 points, and he won 73% of the of his games throughout the course of the year. The award is voted on by coaches throughout the league and whatnot. And this is, he's going back to back with this award, and that's going back for the first time since Bill Dineen in 1985 and 86, and Robbie Faturek in 1995 and 96. So it's been nearly 20 years since a coach has gone back to back, but congratulations to him.
30 years. we're going to stick to the coaching ranks here, but we're kind of going in a different direction as we're a couple teams have their seasons ended. Unfortunately, it didn't make the playoffs. We've already got our first couple of coaching vacancies here. Starting off in sunny San Diego, Roy Sommer has decided to call it a career after this season with the Gulls. He has been coaching in the AHL since 1998 with the Kentucky Thoroughblades. He's seen stints in Cleveland with the Barons, a long stint in the San Jose organization with Worcester and with the San Jose Barracuda. It's going to be a focal point of the episode going forward. Shocking, I know, a postseason episode, a little Barracuda content for you. We're going to serve you up some at the end here. But he finished out with not on the highest of notes with the goals, but you know what? It's been an incredible career for Sommer. And, I mean, at 66 years old, to still be able to go out there and to connect to players that are 40 plus years younger than him. It's really a testament to what he really brings to the ice. So congratulations to Coach Sommer. And in Grand Rapids, we also have a coaching change. Ben Simon is out as head coach of the Griffins. It's been a rough couple of years over there in Grand Rapids. Two seasons in a row not making the playoffs for a storied AHL franchise. This year was especially pretty rough. The Griffins finished with the least amount of wins in, I believe, franchise history. Rough times over there on the west side of Michigan. We had the announcement passed down on Sunday after the final game of longtime captain Brian Lashoff, and it's just a different direction that the Griffins are going to be going in, overhauling the staff, a lot of young talent that's going to be coming in. It's going to be a completely different team coming over there in October. And, I'll be bringing you all the news of the Griffins on the beat over here. So I'm really excited for that. And we wish Coach Simon all the best in the next chapter of his life, wherever he ends up. I'm sure he's going to get some kind of coaching job somewhere. He's just one of those guys that is, it just didn't work here, but I think, feel like the value of another franchise is going to see what he can bring to them. So that's really the news that we have going for you guys. It's not a lot. The big stories is everyone's here for is playoff action. After 72 games and 7 months of war, it's finally all coming down to this. And, you know, we've been hyping everyone up. I know you guys are hyped up, and let's just get right into it. It's a bit of that weird Frankenstein format that we is now kind of becoming the norm here, but 24 teams, I know you guys have your beats into it. So I want to hear your initial thoughts before we start breaking down the matchups.
Yeah, I think there's a lot going for this playoff run here. I mean, the format is tricky. It still is kind of that. It's hard to wrap your head around. I've been challenged to explain it at times here. But, you know, it's great because, you know, it gives more teams a chance to contend and make an upset. We really didn't get as much of that last year. I don't really think there were too many, if any, upsets. But I feel like at least just coming from the Atlantic, there's a lot of potential for upsets. And, you know, a lot of those teams that are going to be playing in this first round here really had the potential to see an upset potential. You know, they were all even at points going into the final week of the season. So although some teams are, you know, the 3-6 typically looks to be, you know, a far out matchup, I think it's closer than ever possibly. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have different opinions from your sides of things, but I think there's a lot of potential for some good early upsets.
Yeah. And I really do think that there's going to be a lot of upset in the North Division. And, you know, I've touched on it and I won't go back into it. I don't think it's going to be the same North Division final that we might have seen maybe in January, right? But and that kind of makes it anybody's division, right? Like if I'm Laval or Utica or Syracuse or even Rochester for that matter, take this opportunity and run, you know, kick the Marlies while they're down, right? And go grab some third round playoff hockey action, right? This is the time to do it. It's anybody's game in the North. As for the Pacific Division, well, you know, if your name doesn't start with a C, I don't know. I really don't know. It's going to be a tough one, but you know what? Ontario does have the opportunity to kind of take down Colorado. They could be this year's dark horse, right? As much as I love Colorado, Ontario could be that dark horse. I'm also looking at Tucson. Who knows what's going to happen with them? Hopefully not in two games, but who knows what's going to happen with them? And Calgary's waiting on the other side, so it's going to be an interesting one for sure.
Oh yeah, let's just get right into it. I'm wiping my hands together. I'm ready for this, man. This is really what it's all about. So we're going to start over here in the Atlantic and start off with our nice little 3-6 matchup, Charlotte and Lehigh Valley. And Corey, I know you got the expertise on the Atlantic. What sticks out to you about this one?
Well, it is interesting because these two teams did enter that final week, like completely even in points with 80. It's a very even regular season series. It's almost too close to call. I mean, you know, for every big win that one team has had, you know, the other has had another in the, you know, you'd be tempted to look back at the last matchup, which was a 5-2 win by Charlotte just over this past weekend. But to me, it's much closer than that. And I'm kind of curious to see how the two teams stack up. I mean, Lehigh Valley, if you're them, you're kind of the pride of the Philadelphia Flyers organization right now. They didn't make the playoffs. They're kind of looking at this opportunity here as a big test for their depth for players that are going to, you know, likely be Flyers in the fall, most likely, and make that graduation. You're looking at guys like Tyson Forrester, Elliot Denoyer, Ronnie Adderd, Samuel Ersson are just a couple of names that stand out there. And, you know, this is a team that just kind of fell off the wagon a little bit. And, you know, they were as high looking as third place, I think, at one point. And, you know, they just didn't win their last three games. They're kind of going in on a little bit of a sour note, having the added challenge of playing a Charlotte Checkers team. All three games are happening down at Bojangles Coliseum as one of the oddities, I think, of this first round here, just due to the travel restriction, you know, requirements, I think. Just the distance, honestly. So, you know, it sucks for Phantoms fans out there. Obviously, me being a Bears fan, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, I haven't felt sympathy for Lehigh fans all that much. But, you know, in this specific instance, I do feel sorry for them because, you know, Lehigh could get bounced in a couple of games. And, you know, although this is their first trip to the playoffs since 2018, they could maybe not even get to see their home crowd again. They may be keeping the ice in Lehigh Valley cold for no good reason, seemingly. So it's a tall task for them, but they've won a good number of road games in Charlotte over the course of the season. I think, you know, it's just, again, very, very split down the middle. It seems like that's, you know, the tail of the tape for both of the play-in round matchups here. But I will say, you know, if you're a team like Providence and Hershey, you're watching that series with, I think, a little bit extra interest, honestly, right? Because if, you know, Charlotte wins, if you're Hershey, you're likely looking at having to visit them for, you know, the division semifinals. And if Lehigh Valley pulls out the upset, they're going to be facing the Providence Bruins. So, you know, truly a tough task and set some intrigue for, you know, future rounds here to see who comes out on top there for sure. And on the other side of it, you got Hartford and Springfield. Springfield's kind of dominated the regular season series on paper. The one stat, and if you're going to be tuning in for our playoff previews, which I believe will hopefully be live by the time the show goes up, the one cool stat I do have for you guys here is I think the X factor in this series is Joel Hofer in net for Springfield. How's this for a stat? His last three starts that he's had against the Hartford Wolfpack, he's had three shutouts. And those are recent shutouts, too. The least amount of saves he had to make in one of those games was 27, and the other two were more than 30. So he's had a, you know, a strong workload in those games, and he's come away, you know, he had five shutouts all season. Three of them are against Hartford, and three of them are recently, too. So, you know, if you're a Hartford, you know, that's got to be in the back of your mind going into this series, in my opinion. I mean, they've had some great turnaround in Hartford there. They had an eight-game winning streak, but what happened before and what happened to end it? They lost to Springfield. So Springfield's kind of had their number in recent time here. And, you know, if I'm Hartford, too, I noticed it looked like the New York Rangers recalled a couple of players to their lineup. Louis Domingue, their netminder, starting netminder, would be one of them, as well as their top scorer, Johnny Brodzinski. You wonder how they're going to react to that. I mean, the reason they were able to go on such a strong run in the second half and make it was having those two guys and, you know, basically being fairly unscathed by their NHL affiliate in terms of recalls. So I'm curious to see how that will affect them, especially in such a short series, too.
Yeah, it's interesting seeing what happens to a lot of these teams where, you know, your parent club is a contender, like Charlotte, Alex Lyon right now battling for his life against the behemoth Boston Bruins. They called up Zach Dalpe up there in the Florida, so they're not going to have their captain available for it. And when you only have three games to get the job done, that those thin margins of error where you don't have big producers like that, that could be the difference between a deep run and, you know, going home early. So,
and how many times did we see that too in the, you know, last year with the first iteration of this? I mean, Hershey lost in game three in overtime. You saw Providence get bounced because if they lost two games in overtime, you know, like those overtime goals just mean, you know, not that they don't mean more in later rounds, but in this series especially, you know, you, like you just said, your margin of error is so thin. So that's what just, you know, if you have, it's a good day to have a bye from that round. Let's be honest here. Wow. If you earned it, you're feeling a little bit better about yourself. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Starting off with like a game five scenario, I can see where those overtime goals kind of have a little more meaning to them. But yeah, I mean, you did a great job of breaking down kind of what to look at the Atlantic. Let's turn our attention to the North here. Now we got last year's a couple of big names from last year. Utica was the number one team in the division last year. Now they've kind of stepped up into the four spot here, and Laval was the team that stepped out of that division, almost went on into the Calder Cup finals, and they just barely kind of squeak into, you know, number five here. So what do you guys think we're looking at here in this play-in round?
Well, it's important to kind of recognize with this one as well, the kind of push, right? You know, Utica didn't really have that kind of record with them on their side to kind of start out the regular season. And if you actually look at their first 2 months, they actually didn't have a plus 500 winning record, right? These guys were on the losing side of things. And so when you kind of look at that, and then they kind of picked things up in December and January, they picked up a few games here and there. But you look at Laval, who, quite honestly, they had to fight to earn their playoff spot in the last part of the month. And they also did kind of get some help last going off, right? Like the Montreal organization really just drank them dry, right? And you look at the season series right now, it's 5-1 in favor of Laval. And you know what? I wouldn't be shocked if we start to see some big name players like Anthony Richard come here and absolutely blow this up. I mean, he's already got, 14 points so far in the season series alone. So, you know, 14 points in four games. I mean, 6 goals and 10 assists. What more can you ask for, right? So they're going to be asking for something from people like him in this playoff series. And you know what? It's going to be a tough fight all the way down to the bitter end. Utica's got 4 extra points on him throughout the season, but that really means nothing come playoff time.
Yeah, and I'm really, again, kind of pointing to what your parent club's doing. Utica is up there with New Jersey making their first ever, well, not first ever, but first in a while playoff push. And Montreal, again, you kind of alluded to, they've been kind of biting the bullet with their season there, but getting reinforcements like Raphael, Harvey Pinard, I mean, scoring goals almost at the same pace up there in Montreal as he was in Laval. Now he comes back with all that momentum, with that crazy home crowd behind him. I tell you, that little bit of time I spent in Laval for the All-Star Classic, like, really opened my eyes to. I mean, you always hear the story of how they're a little crazier over there and Quebec, but you don't really know until you see the passion that these fans bring. And it's such a game-breaking environment for a team that's, as you alluded to, Zach, has been playing playoff hockey lately just for the chance to make it in. 8-2 in their last 10. They're going to have all that momentum rolling in. It's, you know, Utica's no slouch by any means, but this just feels like it's got, you know, the Rocket got all the momentum in the world heading into this one.
And you also have to remember, too, I think about goaltending so much. And if they plan on going with Nico Daws, which I don't know if that's kind of the indication, right? They also got Poultier as well, right? But in that one game that Daws did play, he let up 6 goals and an .854 save percentage. You look at the goaltending on the other side, it can swing either way. Caden Primo, a .935 save percentage through his 3 starts against them. Kevin Poulin, a .927 save percentage in his 3 starts against them. So like that alone, like I kind of see the goaltending like, okay, this is a chance for them, right? And now that they have some of those pieces back, it's a fair fight. It really is. So it'll be one of the closer fights in the playoffs.
All right, yeah. We and for the coveted chance to take on a Toronto team that, to be fair, has been looking a little vulnerable. This could be, I mean, we've been talking about the potential for some upsets. This is what it's all about. I'm not going to say Laval's kind of repeating a bit of the success that they had. It's still a little early to tell, but I feel like this year it's a little more wide open than it was last year. And I'm all for the chaos. as we kind of turn our attention to America's heartland and Central, only one playoff round going on in the first. It's Iowa and it's Rockford. They win their last games of the season, push the Chicago Wolves, finally, those pesky Wolves, out of playoff contention. RIP, my last beat. And yeah, it's got the makings of, you don't know what team you're going to be seeing from really either side. I feel like both teams have the potential to make it interesting. Both teams also have the potential to kind of lay an egg here. I'm just going to keep on going because I know the Central's my thing. Iowa's got a lot of real interesting pieces. I mean, you've had Marco Rossi, Sammy Walker kind of taking over the reins there. Nick Patan's been a huge veteran presence. And let's not discount what Jesper Walstead and Zane McIntyre have done in that. They've been very hot and cold, though. And when they've been cold, they've been cold. When they've been hot, they look like they're world beaters. And again, it's kind of like what kind of team are you going to get? Rockford's been very similar in that regard. Now, they've been hitting their stride a little better. They went out and they got a lot of big pieces. Rocco Grimaldi comes to mind. To kind of the Blackhawks organization really wanted this team to kind of make a run. They almost made a run into the under the couch watching from the sidelines. And they're such a team that's dictated by the big guns, right? They have their big line of Brett Cini, David Guss, Lucas Reichel, that when they're clicking, they are really fun to watch and they're really dangerous. When they're not clicking, sometimes this team has depth scoring, like Luke Philp scoring the biggest hat trick of his life against the Wolves to kind of put them away for good. And then they have times where it just kind of fizzles out. And, you know, they had a almost do or die scenario in Chicago and they didn't put a shot on goal in the first period. The goaltending, I'm definitely going to have to give the advantage to Iowa. Arvid Soderblom was not the guy that he was last year. He's been very, I don't even know if he's going to be the guy starting. I feel like he's going to start over Stauber, but like, I don't know who does know. I don't even know if Rockford knows. And again, when you have that paper thin margin of error, it's not like you can just go like, oh, we'll just go back to our second option for game two. Cause it's like, okay, well, if he doesn't get the job done, your season's over. So when it really comes down to who can bring it consistently for 60 minutes, really 120 minutes. Both teams have the potential to do it. Both teams have the potential to I was going to say maybe make a euphemism that's probably not appropriate, but to not do it. So that's the family-friendly version of it. And we have the Pacific there, Zach. I know you want to take us away.
Yeah, and I do think that this isn't like the North Division at all, where you're kind of licking your chops at the chance to be able to play Toronto. This is a lot like the Atlantic Division, where you're looking at the two teams on the outside and saying, oh my God, it's either Hershey or Providence. These two guys are huge. And the lowest seed of all of this will end up having to play Calgary. So that means if Tucson wins, they can scrape by number two to play number one. The same with Ontario or Bakersfield. You guys win. There you go. But this is going to be a kind of a couple interesting series. And I'll start off with Coachella Valley and Tucson. And I mean, the stats just don't really look there for Tucson. I mean, the season series went 6-2 in favor of Coachella Valley. But that big win that they had in Tucson, December 13th, that was a 7-2 win for Tucson. So I kind of felt like there was, if they can find some sort of momentum, maybe they might be able to pull something out. But like, it's going to be a tough series for them to kind of find a way to win, right? And they're going to have to stop some of the the bleeding in this, right? Andrew Podorowski is one that I kind of think about. If he does manage to play for Coachella Valley, he's had 10 points throughout the season series, right? And they kind of got to stop that. And it's going to have to come down to their goaltending, who's tried everything that they can to kind of keep everything out. And it's, if it's Ivan Provostov, then that's what it's going to be, right? And that he's at a 917 save percentage during that season series. Look, it wasn't entirely the series, the season that they wanted if you're Tucson, right? Obviously, we've kind of mentioned it last episode where they're a sub 500 team and they're now in the Calder Cup playoffs, which is kind of crazy to think about. And, you know, they ended up finishing the season tied with San Jose in points, which is also crazy to think about. And, you know, they kind of ended the season by losing seven straight. So things have got to change. And it's not really going to be the team that you want to do it against. But who knows? Maybe if you kind of burn all the jet fuel in one go and you somehow manage to rout a Coachella Valley team who, fair, Seattle's doing their thing, maybe. Who knows, right? You never know, I guess. That brings me to the other series, which is a lot closer. And when I mean a lot closer, they're dead, even. Ontario and Colorado going against each other. And I will say this, I also look forward to bringing you coverage on that series as well, fieldpasshockey.com. And that's where you can find Coachella Valley and Tucson squaring against each other. I'll have recaps there. As will these guys. We'll have some amazing coverage. But this series here, Ontario and Colorado, I mean, these guys deadlock, four wins, four losses for each of them going into this, right? And you kind of got to think about Ontario, who's had a little bit of change in the guard and goaltending. And I think that when they started the season, they wanted something from Phoenix Copley, but they're going to have to go with someone from Matthew Vialta or Cal Peterson, who both split the remaining eight games. And I kind of look at that and I'm thinking, okay, well, both these guys have had their relative successes for their team. And I think about TJ Tynan, who's going to have to step up, you know, in this. He's had 14 points throughout the season series, right? Jordan Spence with 9, right? I think about these kind of guys who are going to have this, the step up here, right? To kind of pull Ontario away with this. You know, obviously Ontario has kind of struggled in the latter part of the season, and I won't dig into them again. I won't beat that dead horse again, but you know, they kind of turned things around last going off, right? And you know, I kind of do expect to see some sort of a shift going into the playoffs, because again, this isn't a team that hasn't lost a whole lot of bodies for me to kind of say, all right, well, you don't have this person, this person, this person. They still do have many of the players that they kind of relied on earlier on in the season to kind of help them keep going. Now, Colorado, I've always said that they're kind of a team you know, you don't really want to mess with, right? And you look at the way that they kind of performed throughout the season, it's kind of been a season where they've kind of helped each other out. And when I say this, everybody is kind of led at any one point or another. And that's what I think is kind of be one of the deciding factors for these guys. You know, I think that we're going to have to start to see a leader here, right? And as much as I'm all for that balance play and whatnot, I do love a good playoff leader. And who knows? I mean, this could be Charles Hudon's time to kind of break out of the mold, right? Is Alex Galchenyuk still alive? Like, I don't know. We'll have to find that out in the playoffs to come. But I think that this is going to be another interesting series. And, you know, their most recent game was Colorado taking that one, right? And Colorado has taken the last two. So there could be something there as well. Now, there's the two teams that are kind of in the middle of the pack and all this is the third and final playoff series for the Pacific Division in a playoffs where, hey, you want to come on in, you sure can. And the season series for this one has gone to Abbotsford over Bakersfield. Abbotsford has taken this one 3-1. And that's really helped in part to Christian Willonen and other players like that who have kind of stepped up to the plate to kind of be able to take the season series. You know, Bakersfield, I've kind of talked about it. They had a little bit of momentum coming off on the last bit of the regular season, rather. So if they can kind of carry something into the playoffs, you know, I'm all for it. But it's got to be better than some of their performances against Abbotsford, right? They just haven't really been there in my mind. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting one. Bakersfield coming into the playoffs, winning 7 of their last 10, right? So maybe that's kind of the headline here, is that they've kind of done that and they'll be looking for something, while Abbotsford kind of coasted in once they knew that they had it, right? And so who kind of comes out on top is going to be such a great question. And it'll be answered in the playoffs. And the winner of the losers in the regular season will have to go against Calgary. So best of luck with that.
Who do you guys see as you have so many matchups, so many teams, who do you think could be, you know, sneaky, you know, that could maybe kind of wiggle their way through the cracks and make a run that you might not anticipate?
That's a good question. In the Atlantic, I really like the winner of the Springfield-Hartford series. Those have been two of the hottest teams in the division here lately, I'd say. Like, you know, obviously we were just talking about how, you know, Hartford had that 8-game winning streak that was bookended by losses to Springfield. But they've just been, you know, a surprisingly hot team. Obviously, the big questions still loom about, you know, will they survive without some of their players that are up in New York? Will they be cheering for the Rangers to maybe have a short playoff season? Possibly, selfishly, yes. It depends on if they're around long enough to really be able to have that thought, honestly. But, you know, you look at a team like Springfield, they're fully loaded. The St. Louis Blues didn't make the playoffs. You know, just like Philadelphia, in a sense, their focus is on their AHL team to, you know, get some of their key prospects some games here in the playoffs and make a run at it. They were another team that was buried at one point, but has just been absolutely on fire. And, you know, even if I'm a team like Hershey or Providence, I'm not anticipating playing either one of those two teams as a whole lot of fun. Like, it's going to be tough. You know, you look at a team like Hartford, Hershey hasn't played them in a long time. You know, they see Providence a little bit more often, but, you know, those two teams, I think that they'd have a chip on their shoulder going into any one of those series in the division semifinals as saying, you know, hey, we can upset these guys. Same with even Lehigh Valley. It's not out of the question. In a sense, they get the goaltending, they get the goal scoring, you know, they just put the pieces together they haven't been able to over the last, you know, 3 games of the season that kind of cost them their standing spot, right? I think if you look at it that way, those teams, you know, even Charlotte, you know, is a team that I guess I'm not talking about enough here, to be honest with you. But, you know, they're a team that I think really could, any one of these bottom four teams could be a problem. You know, like Charlotte, you know, they beat Hershey last week. You know, it was courtesy of a really good night in the power play that I don't know that you're going to see every time. But, you know, they're a team that I think is just has that ability to come back. So I think if you're any one of those teams, you know, you come in with some swagger in your game, you can put that team on your heels for sure.
And I'll chip in really quickly on the North Division. If I'm Syracuse, I'm licking my chops at this whole playoff thing, right? You win one series against Rochester and you make it to the third round. And then you face the winner of either Utica and Laval, who've had their struggles throughout the season, and Toronto. Right, I'm licking my chops at going on to play someone in the Atlantic Division. So there's that, and I'll cross over to the Pacific Division before I'll let Andrew go with the Central Division. And I'll say this, okay? Assuming Coachella Valley wins, I'll say this. My dark horse first is Colorado, but they're gonna have to fight for it. Because assuming Coachella Valley wins over Tucson, they have to play Coachella Valley, right? Because the winner of the Abbotsford Bakersfield series would go against Calgary. That's the way it's kind of shifting and looking right now, right? Assuming that Coachella Valley routes Tucson, which I'm not going to say is going to happen or not, right? So for Colorado, that means that you would have to go against, say, all right, you beat Ontario. Now you got to beat Coachella Valley. Now you got to beat whoever wins Calgary and Abbotsford and Bakersfield. And bettors odds are going to say whatever, right? It's not going to be an easy ride coming out of the Pacific Division for any team. But if it's not going to be Calgary and it's not going to be Coachella Valley, it's going to be Colorado and it's not going to be any other way.
It's tough from the Central because everything was so tight-knit. You know, it took to the last weekend to decide the division winner. It took to the last day to decide who was even getting in. That being said, I mean, Manitoba plays such a playoff brand of hockey. They always have. They're just getting shots in from every direction, every angle. I mean, they weren't even really – I wouldn't even say that they were trying not to win against Chicago in the last game of the season, but that game didn't mean anything to Manitoba. And yet they still gave the Wolves all kinds of fits. And I mean, they have a lethal, if not unorthodox, look on the power play. Manitoba scares me if I'm in the Central because, like, it's not like I can point out in, you know, the big guns in Texas, you know, Maverick Bourque or Riley Barber. I look at Milwaukee and they got Phil Tomasino and Luke Evangelista and all stars and star power there. Manitoba doesn't really have like this great big shining like offensive threat. I mean, yeah, Jansen Harkins might be the only player they have that's over a point a game, but it's just it's consistency throughout the lineup. And their entire lines 1 through 4 play heavy and they play fast. They're relentless on the forecheck. They play playoff hockey and they do it well. They're in a tough situation where like last year where I think they outplayed Milwaukee, but they ran into a hot goalie and now you're getting Milwaukee again. And oh, look, we graduated from Connor Ingram and now we're just playing Yaro Askarov, who's one of the bluest of chip prospects in the net that this league has seen in a while. Yeah, Manitoba was probably really excited about that, but I feel like they can. I feel like they can get it done. I feel like they can get through Milwaukee. I feel like they can get through Texas. I mean, I love what they have on defense. They have heavy players that can skate and move the puck. I think they're really well coached. I've been a big fan of the Moose for running on 2 years now for the times that my beats have been playing against them. And I think if anyone is going to sneak in through here, I think it's going to be them. So, yeah, we've kind of covered a little bit of everything, and I'm all here for it. And then maybe a bit of a different question. Which series are you most excited to watch here in the first round?
That's a tough one. I think just for the consequences of it for the rest of the division, I'm picking the Charlotte-Lehigh Valley series just because I think it's got the most potential for chaos. I mean, you got two organizations that really want it, I think, this year. You know, Lehigh Valley's back in it for the first time in 5 years at least, and, you know, Charlotte's kind of looking to right a wrong of last year type of thing. And if, you know, I say that a little bit just biased as, you know, from a Hershey perspective, you know, whoever comes out in this series is really going to affect who plays who in the series immediately following. So I think the intrigue is kind of there a little bit more maybe from that perspective than the Springfield Hartford series, which should be a very good one in its own right there. Very hard to pick a winner. But I think this one's also just the most even series of the two, right? We always like a little close hockey. I could really see this coming down to a couple of overtimes, a game 3 overtime perhaps. I'm really just anxious to see how it plays out. And, you know, selfishly, I'm a Philadelphia Flyers fan. You know, I'd love to see some of their prospects come through just to, you know, give me a little bit of hope going into the summer. It's already going to be a big one. I like to see some, you know, big performances there just to have something to be a little bit excited about. And the prospect of, you know, Lehigh Valley Providence series in this next round is would be another great series. I would enjoy watching that one as well, for sure.
And I, for me, it's got to be the series between Syracuse and Rochester. And you said it best, Corey, consequences, right? The consequences of winning or losing this. And you know what? I think that you win this, you can springboard yourself into a very, very nice playoff position, right? You're going against either a Toronto team who's, you know, a dog with one leg here, or you're pretty well going against a Utica or Laval team who didn't really they made it in, but did they really? So it's going to be that, right? I get Laval worked for it, and Utica had their moments of brilliance, but you know what? I look at Rochester and Syracuse, two teams who had to actually fight really hard to get in, right? To get where they did, Syracuse put up some very good points. And you know what? Alexander's podcast will tell you all about that, right? On how hard Syracuse has worked at times to get into the playoffs, right? And I think that that's kind of important to recognize and realize. I think that's the best of the North.
Man, it's tough to pick just one, right? I know I kind of threw it on you guys, and you provided me with better answers than I could give right off the rip. I'm going to go with Colorado and Ontario. I kind of, as you guys have kind of put it before, like I think the between implications, and I think that you see the top two teams over there in the Pacific and your eyes go bright, but don't sleep on the Eagles. And for matter of fact, don't sleep on the rain either. This was a team that finished second in a just as competitive division last year, and they still have TJ Tynan, and he's still a top-level player in this league, and he's still going to get it, you know, going to get it done no matter what. You know, Marty Ferk, it's a little different, but this is kind of, I think Ontario's got a bit of a grudge match. I think they had some big expectations last year, and you know, I think they looked a little ahead to a heavyweight matchup with Stockton that they kind of overlooked the Eagles and kind of got smacked down. So now the challenge is going to be for the Eagles to not overlook Ontario, because I think they're going to be a team whereas before they were kind of hindered by expectations. Now the rain have nothing to lose and they're the underdog. So they're just, and they're going to come out. I think they're going to come out swinging in this one. I think it's going to be a fun one out there in the Pacific. But yeah, that's playoff coverage. I don't believe we have a bonus round, right?
I have a question for you. Okay. I'll ask a spontaneous question. Okay.
I like it. Off the rip.
Where can you find live playoff hockey right now on the Google Play and Apple stores?
It's got to be the Field Pass hockey app, right?
Oh, it sure
you
is.
You know
buddy.
It.
And guess what? We have playoff hockey, buddy, and it's going to be Charlotte, and it's going to be Lehigh Valley. They're going to go against each other, and we'll have it live every game, live on the Field Pass hockey app. It's playoff time, baby.
We need you to do promos for everything.
Yeah, I felt like that came off of the top rope for me,
there
honestly.
It is. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Smack it. Dropped it on me. There's live hockey in the Field Pass app. I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody who goes out today and downloads the app, you know what? You download the app, you tag us on Twitter, you win the bonus round. How about that?
Ooh, fan! I love it. Fan given bonus round. That could be all sorts of levels of chaos. I'm all for it.
Screenshot the app on your phone, and we'll get that going.
Send it here. I'm all in, 100% in on that. So that is it for this week's episode, but we're going to have another bit of a special for you later on this week. So keep on for that, especially if you're a fan of a team who didn't make the playoffs. So we're not done with you guys yet. We got a whole playoff, just a whole playoff season ahead of us. The three of us are, and hopefully maybe even more, hint, hint, week, are going to be bringing you everything top to bottom, all AHL playoff action coming your way. Buckle up, because, you know, this train's just getting started, and I'm all here for it. So on behalf of Corey, on behalf of Zach, and myself, we thank you guys for joining us, and we hope to see you again later on down the road. Bye-bye.
This has been the Holy Grail Podcast. Have a question or topic suggestion? Hit us up on Twitter or drop us an email. For the latest news across the American Hockey League and the rest of minor league hockey, download the Field Pass Hockey app, now available in the Apple and Android app stores.